If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Right. Good morning, everybody. It's your host, Bill Carnes, broadcasting from Los Angeles again today, out here all week. And I got to let you know, on Monday, about halfway through the show, there is some sort of technical difficulty that happened. It was at the studio, at the main network, back in Round Rock, computer-related stuff. So I just want to let you know, on the occasion where something on the show get screwy during the live broadcast, I fix it to the way it's supposed to be and post it on the archives at 2aradio.com, 2As and Second Amendment Radio.com. So Monday's broadcast has been fixed. The interview with Todd Bergen that did not play Monday will be playing today. That was on Thursday's show. So the second half of this show, you're going to hear an interview with Todd Bergen from Freedom Fighter Tactical. Very good information all about the Benelli M4 shotgun and some pieces, parts to improve an already excellent gun. So expect that. Also, at 2aradio.com, the quote that I read last week, I've got a lot of emails on it. That is posted on the homepage, as well as I put a link for the Ronin AR-15 page. Go up to my page, go to 2aradio.com, hit the link for the Ronin AR-15. It's got the parts list to build your AR-15 into a Ronin AR-15. If you haven't heard the Ronin AR-15 show, I'm sure it'll come back on a replay here or there sometime. But that's all the pieces, parts to add to the gun to get it running better than your average AR. The AR-15 is an inherently unreliable platform unless you do a few things to it to make it a little bit better, such as the case with a number of different types of guns that are out there. We have listener emails to get to today, several different stories. One of them, a caveat to the story that we did yesterday about the mayor in Superior Court in Washington in Seattle striking down the city's executive order by the former mayor outlawing legally possessed guns in parks and some other areas around the city of Seattle, and what the new freshman mayor is saying about it, which might shock you. Then again, it might not. So stay tuned. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, as well as I'm going to read to you a piece done by a lady in Alamogordo, I believe is the pronunciation, New Mexico, who's basically a sissified adult that just doesn't seem to get it. But you need to understand this person's point of view, because that is the same point of view shared by a huge number of Americans out there. So for us as Second Amendment guys, gun-toting good folk that are out there, we need to be a little sensitive to this so you can hear from her own words. Stay tuned. Again, guys, there's plenty to come on today's show. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443. So yesterday, did a story about the law. It wasn't even a law. It was an executive order ordinance in the city of Seattle, Washington. Pretty left-leaning city for the most part. It's a very cosmopolitan sort of an area. And there is a state preemption law, as we discussed yesterday in Seattle. I'm not going to go through all of it again. A state preemption law that says only the state can pass any sort of legislation dealing with firearms or people carrying guns. Cities and counties and townships cannot do that. So, the former mayor, Greg Nichols, anti-gun scuzzball, so poor of a mayor, in fact, lost in the primary when he was going for his re-election bid. And he ended up signing an executive order from the mayor's desk banning legally possessed guns that are legal in the state from city parks. So the new mayor, Greg Nichols is out. The new mayor is a guy by the name of Mike McGinn, freshman mayor. And any doubt that he's a disciple of the far left liberal politics are out the window. Because his reaction to Seattle's expected loss in court this last Friday over the illegal parks gun ban, this is what he wants. He wants the legislature to change the state's 26-year-old preemption statute just so the city of Seattle can institute the ban that the Superior Court Judge Catherine Schaefer just voided last Friday. McGinn evidently drinks the same water from the same fountain of the polluted basin that former mayor Greg Nichols did, under whose arrogant mismanagement ended up writing an executive order for the ban, which was adopted just this last fall after he knew he was a lame duck mayor. The ban was Nichols' response to a shooting at the 2008 Forklift Festival that happened in Seattle. Now, the victim in that shooting, were against the ban. Now, the new mayor, McGinn, says, it's time for the state legislature to change the law. No, Mike, it's not. It is time for the city and its elected leaders to stop thinking of themselves as their own city-state, their own little leftist nation that sits right in the middle of Washington on the Puget Sound as your own little commie fascist city-state, where the laws that apply everywhere else in the state of Washington don't need to apply to the city of Seattle. So that's what you're dealing with in Seattle. So it might be time, if you're up there, to start gathering votes as a recall petition for Mike McGinn and possibly any of the Seattle City Council that agree with him on this. Gun control is not about guns. It's about, that's right, guys, it's about control. Now, here is a little update on the scuzzball detective out of East Palo Alto Police Department, Detective Rod Tuason, T-U-A-S-O-N, who had been posting on Facebook back and forth about the open carry guys, that cops should just prone them out, and if they make a furtive movement, shoot them, and magically you get 2 weeks off, paid vacation, for killing someone, for exercising their Second Amendment right. Well, Second Amendment right, sort of, because in California, the gun needs to be unloaded if it's on your hip. You can carry loaded magazines or speed loaders if it's a revolver, but you can't have any ammo in the gun. So, there's been a movement to get this guy busted, if not just plain fired. And again, the East Palo Alto Sergeant Rod Norris said he was unable to comment on the matter because Tuason, who has since removed his Facebook page, hasn't returned any messages seeking any comments, and he is reportedly being investigated by that police department's professional standards division regarding those Facebook remarks. However, here's the real kicker. Captain Carl Estelle, told the San Jose Mercury News that police officials must be careful not to violate Tuason's First Amendment rights, since the comments appeared on his personal website. He says, in no way are his personal comments reflective of any policies or procedures here at the department, nor does he speak for the police department. Now that's great. Let's be really protective of his First Amendment rights to go on there and talk about shooting other people. In case you didn't know, Captain, the First Amendment does have a few limitations. Talking about taking the opportunity to kill someone, otherwise exercising their constitutionally protected and guaranteed inalienable rights, is a violation of the First Amendment. And that is not the type of guy that you should have on your department, just in case you hadn't gotten that figured out yet. Here's an email from a listener, a guy by the name of Bill Watts. He's commenting on a show I did last week. It says, Bill, just caught your 212 show where you were discussing your intentions to initiate legislation to protect corporations from infringing upon the self-defense rights of the citizen workers when companies enact banning of firearms on their property, especially when the employee would be keeping their firearms in their automobile. I'm all for your efforts to thwart this type of infringement and injustice, but unfortunately, you're leaving out an entire class of workers by exclusively focusing on those who drive their cars to work. Well, to that I'm thinking, Bill, I'm interested. Allow me to read on. He says, what about pedestrians, cyclists, which is my preferred mode of transportation, or people who take public transit to their workplace? One could indeed argue that workers who use those alternate modes of transportation are significantly more exposed to potential violent confrontations compared to those who would be driving their own automobiles to and from work, where the car itself can serve as a defensive tool, as well as a deterrent. He says, please put some thought into this issue. I look forward to your thoughts on this matter. Thanks, Bill Watts. Bill, well, here's my thoughts. What a wonderful caveat to the entire argument. Fantastic, and I applaud it. I guess my thoughts, after having read this and contemplated, would be, Bill, that if you're allowed to have a gun in your vehicle, that if you have other employees who would be bringing a firearm with them on, say, public transportation or on a bicycle or walking, I would imagine that most of those people are probably going to have concealed weapons permits. Not necessarily so if you live in an open carry state. Let's say that you do. Actually, either way, it doesn't really matter. You get to work, and the employer does not want guns on their employees. Well, I would think then, if there was some sort of private locker setup or system, then maybe the employers would be able to offer that. However, here's the sticky part. The sticky part of this whole deal comes when any sort of legislation would mandate that employers must provide a safe area for employees to store firearms if they arrive in anything other than a vehicle that they own or maybe carpool with. The reason being, it's very difficult to legislate a company into having to spend money on their own to have to appease for the law. That is a bit of an infringement on business owners' rights and their property rights to force them to have to spend money on something like a secured locker facility. However, it might very well be something that could be brought up if you get that sort of a law passed in your state, which I am going to work towards trying to get it passed in Nevada during the next legislative session this time next year, where employers cannot ban guns in the parking lots. Where it becomes tricky from there is, to have the employees then go to the management of the business and say, look, their rights have been protected, those who drive to work. We, who take public transportation and can otherwise lawfully carry a gun, now our rights are being infringed upon because you're not allowing us to have a spot to store these guns, which is probably it's definitely the longer way to go about it, but it doesn't further infringe on the company by mandating they provide a place for guns. Because what could happen then is employers might just end up discriminating against people who otherwise would be bringing a gun with them to work because they take public transportation. It would disqualify you from working for said company because the company does not, the owners of the company, the management of the company, do not want to have to spend the money on it or deal with the people who are bringing guns. They wouldn't be able to do anything about guns and cars. I'm thinking that if the legislation is passed, it would be incumbent upon the employees to take it to management. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, guys. I'm going to read to you a little piece written by an author by the name of D. Beck, D-E-E, Beck, B-E-C-K, of Alamogordo, New Mexico. And this was put up on Sunday, I think, Sunday midnight, so probably written on Saturday. It says, "Unnecessary display of guns threatens our rights." Now, I believe that title is total bullcrap. I think it's total BS. I don't think it threatens anybody's rights. Nor do I believe that the content of the next couple of paragraphs I'm going to read to you implies any threat to any rights. Listen to this. Letters to the... Now, keep in mind, this is coming from someone who is rather mainstream in America with their thoughts. People who aren't entirely that comfortable around guns. Even if they might own them, doesn't mean they're comfortable around them, probably because they don't really know how to use them, is what I have found professionally. So, let me read this from D. Beck. "Letters to the editor and news interviewees tell us we don't need to fear armed participants at Tea Party demonstration. I'm sorry, but you can't tell me what frightens me. I am intimidated. Even if that isn't what you intended, and she says here, one earlier letter called people cowards when they left after a brave citizen with a gun approached them with no intimidation. She continues by saying, I can deal with 350 gun owners who keep their guns in their homes where we are among them. But any large gathering with a call out to carry changes a group of concerned citizens to a potential armed mob. Now keep in mind, we're all shaking our heads, oh my God, again, with this, are you kidding me? But keep in mind, this is the mentality of, you know, millions of Americans out there. Keep that in mind. She continues, I'd be just as intimidated by people waving signs and shouting if they were armed with machetes, chainsaws, hatchets, or baseball bats, all that are also lethal. Whether intended or not, the message I received was, we're out here and we're armed, be afraid. Now, I'm going to pause there for a moment. I'm halfway through this. And you're right. We're out here, we're armed, be afraid. The message, D, is not being sent to you, the law-abiding. It's being sent to two specific groups. One, the legislators, who would otherwise like to disarm you, because, again, gun control is not about guns, it's about control. And just as much to the bad guys that would bring something like a machete, chainsaw, hatchet, or baseball bat to make you their victim. Continuing, how am I supposed to tell who's dangerous and who's not? A gun certainly makes you look dangerous. I didn't actively protest the political message, as the Brave Six did, that must have been something locally, because truthfully, I wouldn't feel safe if I saw those same people later in a store or at the movies. I certainly didn't want to provoke them. Yet again, some intellectually little person who's afraid of the gun. Not concerned about the person so much, but the gun. Because in this person's mind, in Dee's mind, evidently a gun can turn anyone into a homicidal maniac merely because they possess one. She continues, I also have constitutional rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in my everyday life. People who have guns at movie theaters, restaurants, county offices, come on. Ronnie and public parks, people in county offices, Ronnie, that must be a place in New Mexico, and public parks scare me. They are not protecting anyone's rights. They are jeopardizing them. Now, that's a little bold. That is a short-sighted look at things. Absolute garbage. But we still have to deal with folks like this. She finishes by saying, the rare murders in our quiet little town are usually committed by family members with legal weapons. Now, you're going to have to cite some facts to back that one up, lady, not just spew it out there. Political demonstrators carrying guns are the real threat to our First and Second Amendment rights because they scare the heck out of the neighbors and the rest of the country that could fuel a backlash movement that doesn't presently exist. Okay, total garbage. Absolute garbage. Complete and utter ignorance in nearly every single statement in this entire short article. Ignorance, folks, is that of people without understanding. Now, something tells me I could spend a day or two on the range with Dee and other people of her ilk and get them to really understand the message and what guns are good for and how they're used and the mindset of people that carry them. However, I'm not going to spend a day or two of my life to change this one person. That's up to the people in her community. It's not up to you. It's not up to me. Or is it? It is in our communities, guys, not around the country. Stay tuned. We've got Todd Bergen coming to you from Freedom Fighter Tactical after the break. Be right back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A radio show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, welcome back. This is your host, Bill Carnes, reporting from the People's Republic of California online, as promised. I have Todd Bergen from Freedom Fighter Tactical. Todd, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Absolutely, man. It's great to have you on. Now, Freedom Fighter Tactical, you and I met, what, Todd, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago or so?
Probably about 4 years ago when I started coming out to Pahrump for firearms training.
There you go, yeah. And you and I struck up some dialogue once upon a time about Benelli M4 shotguns. And as it turns out, we both have a love for the gun. I actually got it back before it was called the M4. except for the military. The civilian designation for the first, I think, 2,500 or so was the 1014. I got one of those. But you've actually got a couple of these shotguns now.
I do. The first model I have is the LE version of the M4. I'm not exactly sure how I wound up getting lucky and getting that version. I bought it at a gun shop in Westminster, California, and I knew what I was buying. I knew I was buying an M4, but I didn't know the subtle differences between the different models, and there really isn't a lot of difference between mine and the current models out there, except for it is an LE version. And I've trained with it. I've probably taken at Front Sight Firearms Institute 16, I think, shotgun classes with this gun. Actually, one class I did take with an 870. So I've taken about 15 classes with it, run thousands of rounds through it. Sometimes I clean it, sometimes I don't. I do like to baby the guns, but sometimes I like to, you know, to push it. And I haven't had one failure with this gun whatsoever.
They're fantastic. That's right. They're absolutely fantastic. And you, with your brother, have actually come up with some ideas. And I understand you're actually more the designer of these things, but you've come up with some really, really cool accessories to really enhance this already fantastic gun. Tell us a little bit about some of these enhancements and what you've got at Freedom Fighter Tactical.
Well, we didn't exactly reinvent the wheel. There were some people that are doing some of the things that we are doing that are out there. We just wanted to improve and make a better quality product, and a product that was suited for the training that we have, you know, that we have had with the gun. And first of all, when I looked, before I looked at making parts for the Minelli M4, I was training and I bought, I saw that the bolt handle was, I don't know, it's small.
It is kind of small. Yeah, it is. It's small, it's sharp, it's almost like a thin pencil kind of coming out, and it doesn't come out far enough.
It is. And when you're manipulating your shotgun and when you need to open the bolt and do, for instance, like doing a select slug drill, it's very difficult with the original manufactured piece. So I bought an aftermarket piece that was advertised for the M4. Come to find out, it's really made for the M1. And while some pieces that are advertised for the M1, they're also advertised for the M4, will work on the M4, the first piece I bought didn't. It would recoil would just bounce it right out, and it would land on the ground. And the first time I did that was in a class out at Front Sight, and I needed to do a select slug drill. I was being screamed at by the drill instructor. He was trying to add a rush to the drill that we were doing and to get our adrenaline going. And I reached up to grab it, and it was gone. It had fallen out somewhere downrange.
Oh, geez.
So I set out to find somebody to make one that would work with the M4 guaranteed. And we designed this based upon the original Benelli design, and we took some other designs that we saw in the marketplace, kind of combined them and added our own twist, and we have our own product now. That's what got us started. We also have...
Well, now, hold on. Let's not go into the other stuff just yet, because I've seen that piece. And as a matter of fact, you were kind enough to personally hand me one of those for my shotgun. And it probably took me 3 or 4 weeks before I went out and actually test ran that gun. There's just a period of time where I didn't go out into the field. And I got to tell you, that thing is fit. And I was able to manipulate the original one okay. You know, not bad. It was all right. You can manage. But the one that you make is absolutely fantastic, man. It is a no-miss, always hit, gets running, which is really why I was so intrigued about having you come on the air and talk about some of your other products. Because if everything else really lives up to the way that your bolt knob works in that M4, man, I mean, you set yourself for a very high standard, Todd. You really did.
Well, we've spent a lot of time in R&D, and the fellows at the machine shop that we work with used to make 380 handguns, so they're accustomed to dealing with manufacturing parts for firearms.
Oh, very
nice. They haven't made hand... Go ahead.
I said that's very nice. They actually have, you know, gunsmithing and machining experience. They know what you're talking about. You can speak the same language.
Exactly. They do. And they based upon insurance and litigation and everything that was going on 20 years ago that was making it very hard for firearms manufacturers to still make firearms, they actually got out of the business. But they're very happy to be working with us. And we're doing fairly benign parts. Our parts are not parts that... heaven forbid, if there were some sort of problem with our parts, the gun isn't going to malfunction to an extent that somebody would get injured. They're benign parts, and they're beautiful. They're beautifully made. They enhance the gun. in particular the charging handle. And like you said, it's just worlds of difference. And the piece I gave you, I haven't seen you since we've recently added titanium charging handles to our line.
Really?
The piece I gave you was, yes, the piece I gave you was a steel charging handle. And
well, you can swap
week,
it out with me. I'll test run that one too if you want.
I'll be happy to. Within the last week, though, we have added titanium. All three of our Benelli pieces that were currently in production, we are offering in both steel and titanium. And in the titanium, we're doing a finished version, which matches the gun. And then we're doing what we call a brilliant titanium, which is essentially a raw titanium. And it's shiny. But we think some people will enjoy it. We don't keep a lot of that on hand, but we do offer it for those who might like it.
Oh, and then I guess that would allow them to put their own finish on there as well, some sort of Duracoat finish, because, you know, it's really popular nowadays to paint your gun up into your own spastic camouflage kind of pattern with whatever colors you want. So that'd probably be the one to go with, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. You can do that with these parts. The one trick is you've got to be careful if you do any sort of, like Cerakote's very popular these days. It can add dimension. So, for instance, on our extension tubes, on any of our tubes, if you Cerakote the threading, it adds dimension. You're not going to be able to thread it into your gun. So you the guys out there who do the coatings like that on their parts will do the coating strictly on the part itself and leave the threading raw so that they don't have any threading issues.
Always a good idea. Now, tell us, you said something about tubes, and of course, the bolting up. Tell us about the other things that you've got at Freedom Fighter.
The other things we have at Freedom Fighter, we have a full-length extension tube. As I said, we offer it in both steel and titanium.
Now, that's for the magazine tube, correct? To have the magazine tube same length as the barrel so you can stuff extra rounds in, is that right?
Exactly. It changes the firearm from a 5+1, five shells in the tube and one in the chamber, to a 7+1.
Nice.
And we offer it in both titanium and steel. The titanium on all of our parts is just barely more than half the weight of the steel component. So it's a dramatic difference, but the price is also different, too. The titanium is much more expensive, and there is a lot of waste because, especially on our tubes are made out of one-piece construction. There's no welding.
Oh, wow.
If we were to do welding, we could probably cut the price in half. But people want one-piece construction. It's stronger, it's more durable, it's guaranteed. So what we do, that's what we offer.
I got to tell you, I like the idea of the titanium for weight reduction because that shotgun, although it's not incredibly heavy, it certainly isn't the lightest weight shotgun out there either. I guess if you kind of balance it in the middle, it's probably a tiny bit more to the heavy side than it is to the light side. So if you're making parts out of titanium, obviously much more durable metal, much more lighter weight metal, that's just going to enhance the capability and the carrying and shooting of these guns if you're going to be doing some extended training or if you got to actually go out and do some extended field work with it.
Exactly. Everybody wants to carry less. And not only that, the Benelli is still, even though it's becoming mainstream, and I believe that the LAPD has picked it up, and is going to be replacing their shotguns with the Benelli M4 in the years to come, and it's used by the military as well. It's still kind of a niche firearm because of the price point. And so the guys who are buying Benellis tend to not mind buying the finer parts aftermarket.
It really is kind of an aficionado's gun for defensive purpose. I remember when I got mine, Todd, that when they first came out as a 1014, they were a $1,600 shotgun, and I lucked out. Some guy in Louisiana that had an FFL had one, and he and his wife were going through a divorce. He needed to sell everything. I got mine for his cost at $1,250. And compare that to like a Mossberg 500 or a 590 or a Remington 870, which are, you can get those for $200 to $300. So we're talking, you know, quite a bit more expensive. But, yeah, I mean, it really is, as you described, it's really an aficionado's defensive shotgun.
Well, and you know, it is. I'm hoping that it becomes more mainstream, and I believe it will. And the reason being, you know, going back to when I said I took about 15 or 16 classes with this firearm, I mean, these are lengthy classes. These are anywhere from 2 to 4 day classes. So we're running a lot of rounds and we're doing a lot of drills and we're really testing the weapon. Every once in a while you see guys out there with M4s. There's a lot of 870s, there's a lot of 590s, there's a lot of other things. Just about the only firearm in the shotgun category that I have not seen on the workbench with all the tools out and guys pulling their hair out over it is the Benelli M4. And actually, it's not just the Benelli M4. It's the Benelli brand in general, but specifically the Benelli M4.
Yeah.
I've only seen one individual have problems with their Benelli M4, and that's because they had everything hanging off of it that money could buy, and they didn't have it situated properly. And really, it's a simple shotgun. It doesn't need all these giant things hanging off of it. You can be excellent with it and just have some of these minimum enhancements that we're offering or some of the other manufacturers out there are offering and make it a finer weapon without the scopes, without all the rail system. It just adds too much. And so, like I said, the only person I've ever seen have a problem with that was a buddy of mine who he had everything hanging off of it. It was just too much.
Well, I got to tell you, I have been a fan of Benelli shotguns for some time. The M1 is a great gun. The M3 is a good gun if you enhance a couple of things. That's the one that is either pump or semi-auto, however you set it up.
Right.
Of course, the M4 rocks, and then their pump shotgun, the Benelli Nova, is a really excellent shotgun, and it's a good buy for the price. And it's not like we're sitting here trying to give a bunch of free advertisement to Benelli, but it's a good shotgun. And if you happen to have an M4, some of the stuff that you guys are making at Freedom Fighter Tactical is just, I mean, because it's such a niche shotgun, there's very, very few things available for that shotgun. And you guys have actually, because you are consumers and users and trainers, and, I mean, Todd, you know how to run that M4 shotgun, probably as good as anybody else in the world that's ever run the thing. You know, we're talking about somebody that actually has real-life, in-depth knowledge of how this thing is supposed to operate and its capabilities, and if there are any, a few limitations. And you're the guy that went out and actually had the parts designed to make this gun that you know so well that much better. It's not like you're a designer that said, hey, I'm going to make a few bucks on the M4. You had a love for the M4 and decided, you know, I'm going to make some parts and make these available to the other connoisseurs of the M4.
That's absolutely correct. It was problem solving. As I said, I bought some things in the marketplace that were made for the M4, and some of the things I bought from other companies have been fantastic. And we're not those particular pieces we're not even making right now, and we may or may not make in the future. The pieces that we're currently making are pieces that I either wasn't totally satisfied, or there was just room in the marketplace for us to do it as well. And in particular, that charging handle, that was a key component that actually got us into this business. We do make an extension tube for those who, you know, prefer to keep their 5-round magazine tube on the gun. We do have a 2-round extension that we have. And we have it in steel and titanium, in the raw and the finished titanium. We do sell quite a bit of those, and I think that it's because a lot of guys don't always want 7+1. Sometimes they want 5+1. You know, maybe they're competing and they don't need that much in their gun, or maybe they're competing and they do, or they're going hunting. Whatever the reason may be, we sell an awful lot of the 2+ extension, and we actually make that 2+ extension in titanium. We debated that. That was, you know, nobody out there is making a 2-round extension. And you almost think that, well, if you've already got a steel magazine tube on there, why would you slip a 2-round titanium extension on the end? Why would you want to bear the price of that? Well, one, nobody else was doing it, so we thought we'd kind of pioneer that. Two, I am friends with an instructor here in Orange County, and I ran it by him, and he loved the idea. He said anything that he could do to reduce the weight and give him versatility, for instance, being able to pop it off and go back to 5 rounds if that's what he wants, or slip it on and have 7, he loved the idea, so we decided to roll with it. So we're actually the only people out there with a titanium extension tube, and it's a beautiful piece. It's absolutely a beautiful piece. I will say, however, that most people do go with the full 7-round extension, full-round tube.
Nice. Now, Todd, we've got about 2 minutes left. Talk about, is there anything else on the drawing table that you guys are looking at adding to the Freedom Fighter Tactical line?
Well, we are considering getting into the M1. They currently make their magazine tubes out of aluminum. We are thinking about improving upon that. We haven't determined yet if the marketplace will sustain a finer tube than aluminum. If people are already accustomed to using aluminum and they've had it on their M1 for 5 years now, will they really upgrade to a titanium and incur that expense? I'm not so sure. So we're looking into that. We probably will have an M1 charging handle soon, probably only in titanium. We are looking at some other parts, such as a follower, a forend, perhaps a bolt release button. There's a few parts that we'd like to do. Some of them are just because we'd like to do it, because we think it will, you know, add to our product line. It will be something that people will want. But then also, you have to be concerned about the federal law 18 U.S.C. 922R, which if you put a magazine tube on your firearm, you need to have a certain amount of pieces that aren't foreign made. And so you need to swap out anywhere between 3 and 5 pieces. And the ATF gives different answers every time they get a letter when somebody inquires. And we always suggest that people write the ATF themselves and get a definitive answer for them, for their gun, and keep the letter with them. But
sounds
we like
good.
To offer enough parts that comply with 922 so that we can be a one-stop shop for 922R.
All right, real quick, Todd, give us your website.
www.freedomfightertactical.com, one big word. We answer emails fast. You get your products fast. We're there for you.
Thanks, Todd. We'll be back right after these words, guys.
Thanks, Bill.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not when you belong.
All right, guys, welcome back. Look, I just want to remind everyone that at RBN we're having a pledge drive. And really, what we're doing, we're in the process of standing up another network. Another network. Let me get tongue-tied there. And that network is going to be the Elected Representatives Network, the ERN, where we're going to put on elected representatives from all across the country that are going to have regular shows, probably going to have some special shows here and there as things work out. So we're in the process of standing up that network. One of the reasons we're having the pledge drives to get that up there and get that out is some alternative programming to what we already have here on Republic Broadcasting. So if you'd like to donate to that, please, to the pledge drive, you can donate by calling 800-724-2719. Again, that's 800-724-2719. That's 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time, all right, because we have the network is in Round Rock, Texas. You could also go online to republicbroadcasting.org and donate there. As well, you could also send in a pledge if you like. And that address is, let me pull it up here. It is 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302. Again, 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302. That's in Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. So we appreciate that when it comes to anything that you would be able to donate when it comes to the pledge drive. I actually designed some bumper stickers that I sent in, and hopefully, provided the network looks at it and say, okay, that's not too far out to the right. That's not so far out there. We'll be able to use those and maybe sell those as part of a pledge drive. Additionally, guys, you can get the 100 business cards, which are generic, as in they don't have a name, but they're good-looking cards. They're kind of a gloss finish. 100 business cards, plus you get an RBN bumper sticker and a copy of Aaron Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism for $8, and that includes shipping. So you get 100 cards, a bumper sticker, and a copy of Aaron Russo's America, From Freedom to Fascism for $8. So remember that. Remember the pledge drive, if you would please. And if you happen to feel like sending me any emails, you can go onto the website. The website is www.2aradio.com. That's not two-way radio. That is 2A, as in Second Amendment Radio.com. And my email address is real simple, guys. It's bill@2aradio.com. All right? So feel free to send me any sort of emails you like, comments on the show, anything that's going on. Please keep the forwards to yourself. Address it personally. I'm happy to read it, and if it's a question I can answer on the show, I will. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you, in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the Lendman News Hour coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.